I'm Lalitha Krishnan, and you're listening to episode 36 of Heart of Conservation. Today, we are going to be talking about how waste management can be a profitable business. Normally, when we sort out our waste, you know, it's off our hands and not our problem anymore. But when garbage dumps start growing into hillsides and pollute our air quality and spread disease, we sit up and wonder why nobody is doing anything. Today, I'm speaking to two amazing clean tech innovators, Rahul Nainani, founder, and Gurashish Singh, co-founder and COO at ReCircle, who converted biomining waste into a booming business. It's not every day we hear success stories and of positive change. Before I start, you should know that I will be transcribing this podcast onto my blog, Earthy Matters. But before that, let me begin by welcoming Rahul and Gurashish to Heart of Conservation. Thank you both so much for joining me here on this platform today.
All right. Thank you, Lalitha, for having both of us. Yes.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
So, Rahul, since you are were Bombay-based and ReCircle headquarters operates out of Bombay, this question is for you. I heard that you both visited the Deonar waste dump, which has existed since 1927. It's the oldest dump in Asia, you know, legacy waste, waste that is old, landfilled, inherited waste, not necessarily even created by your generation. So what did you see in this mammoth garbage pile that inspired both of you to become clean tech innovators? Most people would have run a mile, including me.
No, absolutely, Lalitha. I think, I was as ignorant as the rest of us, you know, before we started ReCircle. And having studied finance, nowhere in my mind that I actually thought that I'll be working in the waste sector. But I like to believe that, you know, waste and circular economy is something that just happened to me. And I think that that's for the very right reasons itself. So, we launched in early 2016 under the brand name of Raddi Connect, and which is what we rebranded as ReCircle. But just when we were launching, there was this massive fire that took place at the Deonar dump site. There's this iconic image that NASA took from space where, you could see that fire burning even from space, and it went on for a few weeks, in fact. And, when we were early in our business and we were just launching, the idea was to look at what is happening with our waste. And as ignorant as anybody else, it was more of an out of sight, out of mind mentality. And having lived in Bombay all my life, Deonar was just like, one dump site which you cross on the way to Lonavala. But one fine day when this fire happened, we planned to go down in the dump site and see what actually went on and why this fire happened itself to start with. So, there were a few things that we found out during this fire. So the first thing was that these fires actually happen on a regular basis. And it's not just, that one fine day that this has escalated, but the only reason that not just us, but the entire city woke up is because the wind was blowing towards South Bombay, and South Bombay being South Bombay, people started waking up and realizing that this is a massive issue. But these fires actually happen on a daily basis. And the dump site, if you look in the map of Mumbai, is pretty much located in the heart of the city, but it has a creek on one side. So generally when the wind blows towards the creek, you don't really realize the extent of the fire. But this fine day when it was blowing towards the city, and that's when we all woke up. The second thing that actually drove me to, take that leap of faith and see how big this problem is and actually that we need to work towards a solution was that we worked with an NGO called Apnalai that works in the Deonar dump sites, in the neighborhoods surrounding the dump sites. And they gave us a very astonishing fact that, that the average life expectancy of people that just live around the periphery of the dump site, these are, again, not the people that work in the dump site, but only live in the slum area next to it, was 38 years of age.
That's shocking.
And that was an eye-opening, number to me, and realize, and that helped me realize that, if this is impacting the people just living around the dump site, how soon is it going to start impacting the rest of the city as well as the rest of the country? Because this story is not just about Deonar dump site in Mumbai, but this is pretty much maybe the Ghazipur dump site in Delhi, Bangalore, maybe even Kolkata. Is pretty much the same city, same story across all cities across India. And, together, Gurashish and I must have visited more than 50 plus dump sites in the country. And the situation is quite dire. So you know, that helped us realize that, of course, you know, that we need to make an impact in this space. And that's how our journey began into working towards starting Recircle.
Wow. God bless you guys. Somebody had to do it. Kurashish, maybe you can answer this. And so help me draw a picture of Recircle's operation by completing the story, okay? So I'm a rag picker or a safai karamchari sorting through a pile of garbage in Deonar. What next? What happens?
So overall, to help you understand how waste actually flows, number one, the lady or, you know, the man in the house removes the clean recyclable waste, right? So that's typically your newspapers and things like that that are sent to a raddiwala. Then the house help who comes to the house has the first dig at the waste, who will remove bigger cardboard boxes or, you know, bislery bottles, PET bottles, things like that. After that, the waste goes to the garbage collector of the building or the person who's actually putting the garbage in the garbage truck. Post this, the waste that ends up will end up in landfills and ocean. So even though it is it's a pretty informal supply chain right from the start to the end. One of the most astonishing things is that, unfortunately, we have a very strong backbone supply chain where people are removing waste at so many levels. But the unfortunate scenario in this is, in 90% of the cases, the waste is not segregated. So if we just segregate the waste, it will make it very easy for this extremely long supply chain of people that are actually making a living out of the waste that we throw out also. That's actually what happens. And there is a supply chain that works. There are scrap dealers, kabadiwalas, your house help, the person who is, you know, down in the building collecting the garbage right till the truck reaching your dumping grounds.
Right.
Bigger problem is people not segregating this waste.
Hmm. Thanks for that. You know, talking of one generally hears of sorting garbage into glass, metal, cardboard, wet waste, and plastic. In one conversation, I heard you mention sorting garbage into 40 categories. I was blown away. Could you share a few examples on which materials are the main focus of Recircle?
Sure. So let us again start with, so in India, we are expected to segregate our garbage into three categories. That's dry, wet, and hazardous, right? And out of this dry waste, if we typically see the four or five major categories that are there, are paper, glass, plastics, metals, e-waste, right? In India, we're not even supposed to segregate different types of waste. When we travel internationally, we put paper separately, glass separately, plastic separately, e-waste separately. So, however, given what is actually supposed to be done in India, where we segregate our waste into dry, wet, and hazardous, this dry waste then reaches our facilities, where we first primarily sort the material into paper, plastics, metals, glass, e-waste. Then, in turn, each of these materials is further segregated. So, say paper is segregated into four categories. That's white, color, corrugated boxes, colored, corrugated, colored, corrugated. Your glass is segregated into alcohol bottles, other glass bottles, and then color segregated. Plastic first belongs to seven different categories, right? That's number one to number seven, number one being PET, number seven being others. This seven is then further categorized into colors, transparent, and things like that. And so is with e-waste. So leading to all this, we segregate over 40 different categories of waste. We also collect and segregate multi-layer plastics, or the seventh category, which mainly is a packaging material that is composed of multiple layers of different polymers. And we make sure that this either goes into road making, recycling, or energy recovery and waste to energy plants or cement factories, which is all a government approved way of managing this waste. So yeah, the one category of dry waste that we collect from individuals is then further segregated into four categories.
Okay. Could you give me an example? What is this, what do you mean seven layer? What product are we talking about?
Yeah, it's multiple layers. So an easy example would be probably a packet of, any chips that we like to get.
Okay.
So if we notice the top layer would be plastic, there'll be an aluminium foil. Layer to it, right? So there's an aluminium foil if you see it on the other
right,
side.
Right, right.
So this is actually merging or a combination of multiple polymers and other materials that cannot be recycled. So an easy example is a water bottle is PET. If we break that down and granulate it, we are going to get PET granules back. But when there are different layers of either different polymers or different materials, the output is never going to be a single material. It's going to be a mixture of all materials.
Rahul, how many villages, towns and cities does the recircle reach, and are any of these remote? For instance, do you cover vulnerable areas of India like the mountainous areas, or islands like the Andamans, yeah, where there's really no extra land for dumping garbage, having been there? And my last podcast was to somebody, a herpetologist who lives in the Andamans. He says it has a landfill now. I mean, there's nowhere for the garbage to go. It doesn't come back to the mainland. So,
absolutely. So, Lalita, currently our operation spans over 250 plus locations across India,
nice,
covering, major cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore, but also covering tourist locations like Shimla or Haridwar. And also certain difficult to reach locations in the northeastern area, which might be in Assam or Meghalaya, where we are actively working on collection of this material. Having visited Andamans myself, a few years ago, as I'm an avid diver, see, the need for, waste management over there. But, how our business model works is that, we work with brands, which is we are a B2B business. So we work with brands to help them to offset their footprint. So when I say this, essentially, let's say we are working with a beverage brand and they're selling Pan India, we collect equivalent amount of beverage bottles on their behalf. Now, while our mandate for collection of this material comes from the businesses that we work with, we are covering almost, 90% plus of the states and union territories in India. But in certain areas where we need additional support from brands, where we are able to do the operations, like in Andaman right now, we are not working, but we know companies that are working over there. But we are trying to maximize our footprint as well in terms of collecting from even the, harder to collect locations. But here, my call to, the listeners here would be that if you are a brand that is looking at, consciously making this effort, please do reach out to us. And we would want to work in harder to access locations further as well to actually collect material from where it is difficult to collect these resources. But yes, currently we do have a mix of, tier one, tier two, rural areas as well, where we're actively collecting this material from.
Good to know. I mean, 250 plus locations is quite something. And considering Recircle's reach, you're providing livelihood to a large number of people. How would you say it impacts their lives,
Yeah, so I mean, I think just to take one step back, the waste management sector in India, like Gurashish was mentioning, is extremely informal and fragmented.
True.
And it has a lot of moving parts involved. Now, our purpose or our vision at Recircle is to bring along ethical circularity. And, the idea is that while waste is an environmental problem, but it's also a massive people problem, because there are nearly 4 million waste pickers or people that work out of scavenging waste, make an income out of scavenging waste from landfills and dump sites across India.
Wow.
So our business model was, in a way where we wanted to actually empower these people and formalize them as compared to displace them, because we very well understand, that without having these people that actually clean up the trash after us, that there would be no waste management that would actually happen in our country at all. So we work with local scrap dealers, aggregators, waste collectors that work across the country in these 250 plus locations. We formalize them in the help of where we are working with them on health checkup camps, connecting them with government schemes, and also eventually working with them on additional sources of income. So we charge the polluter, which is the brand owners that we work with, and we incentivize mm-hmm. the collectors that collect this material on our behalf. And with that intent, we've directly and indirectly impacted more than 3,000 plus informal workers. While this is not a large number in the larger context of things, but this is where we are at a small stage and we are able to do this work. And, where either with the help of, social security or with health camp, with additional sources of livelihood, is where we've been able to impact these 3,000 plus informal workers that are part of our supply chain. And our vision is to work and increase this number as we scale up our progress in terms of waste recovery. We also want to impact more and more waste pickers in the organizations. We actually don't like to call them waste pickers, but we call them Safai Sathis, mm-hmm. As they are our friends who help us clean up the environment as compared to, picking our waste. Because what is waste for us is actually a resource for them, and they're able to make a living out of this. So, that's how our mindset is, to actually not call them waste pickers, but they're actually cleaning, and not, we are the waste generators and they are the cleaner True. Cleaning, they're cleaning after us. So yeah. It's very ironical to call them waste pickers or, waste workers, in that sense. So rebranding them as essentially Safai Sathis, rebranding waste as a resource to start with, because what's waste to us is a resource to them and also for an ecosystem. And that's how our intention is to build this inclusive business model where we empower these informal waste collectors as a part of our supply chain as compared to displacing them from the ecosystem.
Nice. I like that whole positive outlook you have towards your business and to everyone who's involved. Well, could you, one of you, give us three foul facts about garbage that are India specific that my listeners may not know?
Right. Like one of the most startling facts that we came across was, did you know that India imports 465 crore plastic bottles annually? So this was, we stumbled upon this a decade ago and we found it absolutely unacceptable. If there's one thing that we don't have in India, a shortage of one thing in India, that's waste.
Yeah, can I interrupt you? Why? What the question is, why?
The reason for this is, two ways. One is that, again, going back to one of the first questions you asked me, people do not segregate waste. So a lot of it just ends up in landfills and oceans, right? If we just start segregating our waste, there are multiple people who will, remove this and send it to a recycling unit close to wherever they are. So okay. That is one of the astonishing, or foul facts, as you call it. Second is, India alone produces a massive amount of 3.4 million tons of waste. Again, only 30% of this gets recycled, mainly due to non-segregation of waste. We are the third largest waste generator in the world. And if we continue at the same pace, we will be the largest by 2048. That's the estimate. Right. And just another one would be, 4 million people make an income out of scavenging waste from landfills and oceans and streets. They are unorganized, unrecognized. And we feel that, somewhere they are the only reason for the entire waste recycling and waste infrastructure that is being managed in India as well. So again, it's will be a call out to all the listeners here that whoever your waste picker, waste collector, Safai Sathis, they are invisible warriors in this entire shadow supply chain. So dignity of work is something that they really deserve.
Thanks for that. It's so true. Yeah. So could you share three positive facts about garbage that emerges from your business?
I think, looking at the larger landscape of sustainability and, clean tech itself, I feel that I'm extremely optimistic in terms of solutions coming out of this space, mm-hmm. especially because, there's been more traction that's been in this space in the last, let's say, 3 years as compared to the last 3 decades put together. So there's a lot of movement in the right direction that's happening. While in India, there is we are seeing small movements that are coming along, but I think there is a larger level also, there are some things that are coming along. So if I had to put down, let's take an example of Indore, which is a very talked about town in terms of the cleanest town in India itself, year after year. And I think there's a lot of learning that we can take from there, where, having visited Indore myself and seeing the case study over there, I think they've reached almost a 90% plus segregation of waste at source. And like how Gurashish has been mentioning, that I think the biggest problem is that we are not sorting our waste. And if you're not segregating, then it becomes waste and it doesn't become a resource. So there is a silver lining, having seen, cities like Indore do it. I think there's a lot that we can learn from them and move towards, a more sustainable future. The second thing probably is that there's a lot of, policy shift that's coming along. There's with the global pressure on plastic pollution, sustainable development goals that have come across in the global level. Even in India, the plastic waste management rules was first time introduced in 2016, which never existed, which was part of the solid waste management rules earlier. So that's bringing around, a lot more traction in this space. And then, of course, our Prime Minister's global Swachh Bharat movement, which if nothing has at least brought in awareness to a very large level of population where, that waste is that we need to work towards a cleaner India. So I think there's a lot of policy pressure, also external pressure that's coming along, which is moving towards the right direction in that sense. And then finally, I feel that, when we started off Recircle in 2016 and, as we sit today in 2024, we've seen this industry evolve so much that, earlier the clean tech as a sector did not even exist. Sustainability teams in large organizations did not even exist. And now we're seeing, that it's becoming a part of board level conversations. It's also so many innovators and startups that have come up in the space that are working towards solution, not just for garbage, but for, carbon, for water, for energy. Working towards a more sustainable ecosystem altogether. So there's a lot of movement and innovation that's happening in this space. And that keeps me extremely optimistic about the future that, while this has been a large problem in the past, but there are people and there are solutions out there. It's a matter of all of us taking up those small steps and picking the right solutions.
Right. Thanks for that. All right. So who are your prime customers? The brands, are there some that we recognize? And are these labels on Recircle's repurposed products that we can look for?
Right. So some of the brands that we are associated with and work with are prominent organizations such as Hindustan Unilever, United Nations Development Programme, Hindustan Coca-Cola Beverages, Mondelez. We are one of the sole partners for Tata Starbucks, helping them assist in their sustainability objectives and needs. We also work with brands across all sizes, actually. A lot of brands in the D2C space as well, such as Phases, a skincare Indian brand, Honey Twigs, which is into honey and one-time use packaging. So yeah, quite a few prominent big and small brands, and it's been a good journey working with them.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So everything you do is really impressive, and it's on an incredible scale as far as I can see. But it's almost, since I'm speaking to you now, I'm knowing, but mostly invisible to the public eye, or backstage almost to speak. So what does Recircle do to nip the garbage problem at the consumer level? I don't know if that's a clear question.
I think I get an idea, in terms of, what are we doing in terms of the consumer awareness and the consumer side work. So what we initially, to build a business in this space, we realized that we have that to make large impact, we need to get big brands to start taking action. While, of course, consumers need to do their bit, but our main focus has been on B2B and working with big brands to make that change happen. But there's a lot of work that we do on the consumer level as well. May it be through collection drives in this area of Mumbai, where if you want to discard your recyclable waste, we've also recently started getting into textile waste collection as well. So old clothes as well as your dry waste, we have a monthly pickup that we provide to consumers, where you can sign up free of cost, and we do a door-to-door pickup once in a month. And the schedule of this is something that is already finalized for the entire year. So if you simply follow us on Instagram, which our handle is recircle.in, you'll be able to see and sign up for our next collection drives. Do a lot of we do a lot of work in the form of waste to art workshops to actually spread awareness of how waste is not waste. We conduct workshops either in corporate offices or even otherwise in spaces where you can actually sign up to see what you can make best out of waste. So there's a lot of awareness that happens there. We've worked in the past with the Start Art Festival in terms of setting up installations for waste. So the Evelyn House installation, maybe Lalita, if you remember seeing last year, which was this entire building which had plastic bags sprouting out of it. We were happy to associate with the artist that helped design that in terms of spreading that awareness. So that's another thing where we use art as a way in terms of spreading awareness. There's a lot of we do have regular cleanup drives in terms of beach cleanups and other stuff that we end up doing as well. And then we also conduct zero waste events. So events is a massive area where there's a lot of footfall of people, and consumer awareness can be spread. So we work with event organizers to help organize a zero waste to landfill event. So may it be a music festival with the likes of, let's say, a Gin Explorer Scrubbed or Tap, or may it be a marathon. So we're doing works with the Powai Marathon in Mumbai as well. And the biggest one that we've done till now is that, all the ICC World Cup matches that happen at the Narendra Modi Stadium in Gujarat, there were more than one lakh people attending each match. We managed to make sure that the entire event was zero waste. Over there, more than a thousand tons of waste that were generated at all the matches were sent for processing as compared to reaching our landfills and oceans.
That's very commendable. Sorry to interrupt you. That's very impressive.
So I think we believe that consumers need to take a key. They play a very crucial role, and consumers like us and citizens like us, where we try and do a small bit of awareness through the different activities. If you also follow us on Instagram, there's a lot of awareness material that we put out over there as well. But, through these events, through these collection drives, we're able to actually touch base with different consumers at different levels as well. And thereby, spread the awareness. And at the end of it, the idea is that consumers, they generate the waste, they also purchase the waste in a way. So, how do we get consumers to become conscious consumers at the end of it? By actually picking brands that are taking action as compared to the ones that are not. So, while it's a small part of the puzzle that we play, but, the idea is that consumers can spread this across different other consumers as well.
Right. Just complete awareness and change in lifestyle. I think you're doing a great job.
A step at a time, I think the only thing is that, it might get overwhelming that you have to do a lot, but I think take those small steps.
Right. Tell me about Recircle's own initiatives, Plyma One, Plastic EPR Service, Plastic Neutral Programs. I don't have a clear understanding of these things and whether they've been included in the earlier replies.
So maybe a few of them is something that we did speak about, like we do zero waste events.
Right.
Where if you're an event organizer, we help you manage the event and ensure that the waste that is generated, firstly, reduce, pre-plan, make sure that the processes are set up, and then, of course, look at managing the waste after the event is closed. We do collection drives for consumers, which is, where consumers can participate by disposing their recyclable waste as well as textile waste now. But on the B2B side, we have a few services. We have a service where we essentially help brands to offset their plastic footprint. So in simplicity, let's say if you're a brand that is selling 10,000 beverage bottles in the market, we collect, sort, segregate and recycle these 10,000 bottles on your behalf and ensure that it's getting recycled and give them credits for this. So similar to how carbon credits work, we work on plastic credits. And within the plastic credit space, we have two of our services. One is our EPR service, which is more on a compliance base. So as a part of the plastic waste management rules, if you're a big brand, you need to basically collect back as much plastic you put in the market. So we help brands offset as well as meet their regulatory compliance requirement. And then we have a similar service for medium and small size brands, which currently do not require to do this as a compliance, but are doing this as a voluntary activity, where we not only help you offset your footprint under our plastic neutral program, but also help you communicate the impact of this with your consumers. So your consumers know what is the action that that the brand is taking. And at the backbone of this is our clean tech platform called ClimaOne, where ClimaOne brings in transparency and traceability in this unorganized sector, where consumers and brands are able to track what's happening, that there's no greenwashing happening, that the material is actually being collected. So we're actually digitizing and formalizing the supply chain with the help of our tech platform that enables us to provide these services to our brand owners that we work with.
Okay, I'm down to the last question. What thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners? Or could you share a word or a concept that adds to our understanding of what you do, if you want to?
For me, it would be segregation of waste. I think that's where it all starts. That's where the journey begins. So to the listeners, it would be that wherever you are, whatever you do, start by just segregating your waste. It's not that difficult. You put segregate your dry, wet, and other days. You do it at the minute when you're throwing your waste. It should be a conscious decision to throw it in the right bin. And that's what enables, a beautiful future for the waste going forward.
Yeah. Gurashish, thanks for that. I like the fact that you're emphasizing this throughout our conversation. And it's just simply segregate. All right. I hope our listeners remember that. How about you, Rahul?
I think, we like to rethink things at Recircle. And one of the primary things of rethinking is that, when you look at something as waste, you tend to, throw this in a dustbin and you realize that it has no value. But I think what people need to start rethinking is that it is, if you rethink waste as a resource, then you start looking at it in a very different perspective. And that's what I want the listeners to actually take back after this conversation, that rethink this as a resource that can impact the lives of the millions of people that are working in this sector. It can also be a resource to reduce our reliability on fossil fuels and on ever depleting resources that we have. So if we use our waste as a resource, we are able to minimize the requirement of new resources and thereby move towards a more circular and sustainable future.
True. Thank you so much. That's being really being creative with your waste. Think of how you can reuse it like we all did in the 70s. Because I guess we didn't have that much plastic to deal with.
I think as Indians, we are ingrained with this, with this mindset of reuse, reduce. And if you just look back in terms of what your grandmothers and grandfathers used to do, I think there's a lot that we can learn even by just going back to the basics in terms of waste management or circular economy.
Thank you guys so much. This has been great.
Thank you so much, Lalita.
Pleasure. Bye.
Thank you.
Likewise. Bye.
Bye.